Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer. We're here live at the SiriusXM studio at the Wynn in Las Vegas. Man, am I blessed to have. This is the most people don't, because most people can't and most people won't episode of Office Hours. We're blessed to have my best bench player of all time, the incredible CJ Watson. Thanks for joining me as a host.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
I look forward to your perspective and enlightened perspective of what we have coming on, because we are loaded up today with extraordinary guests. And speaking of most people don't, I have the incredible Bart Berkey. He is an author. He is a speaker. He's an incredible coach with years and years of experience with the biggest hospitality companies in the world. Double B, Bart Berkey, thanks for joining me.
No, my pleasure, David. It'll be fun. Thank you.
You got it, my friend. And our anchor man, Smiley, as always, Nick Agarkar. He is a wealth management expert, one of my partners as well in helping so many people facilitate their financial future. Nick, thanks for your insights and being a co-host and an anchor.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for welcoming me onto the show.
All right. Well, it's time for Most People Don't Office Hours here in Vegas, and we're going to start with an oldie but a goodie. That's right. One of my best friends in the world has graced us again as a guest on Office Hours, the incredible Hall of Famer, Nick Lowry.
Thank you. You were so nice to me. That's all I can say.
Well, because my mission is to empower over a billion people to be happy.
Yes.
And I need 1,000 people like Nick Lowry that I know in his lifetime will power 1,000 to empower 1,000. I know you went to the Ivy Leagues, I didn't, but you could check my math. 1,000 times 1,000 is a million times 1,000 is a billion. And together, you, my co-hosts, and many others were assist me. And one of the things you've done recently, beyond all the great on-field escapades and successes and records of pressure, purpose, and triumph, is your new book, Naked and Alone, with 80,000 people. Not many people can actually claim they felt that way or been that way, except for you as a streaker at the Olympics, maybe.
Never thought of it that way.
Maybe that guy's written this book, but yours is different because you do help people through what's challenging and struggles today of having pressure at the biggest level, but having purpose and triumphing through that pressure. What are some of the key elements of the book to help us so that our purpose is greater than the pain and the pressure?
Well, I think of CJ lining up for a, you know, free throw with 1 second left, and he's got to make all three maybe, and hasn't shot a free throw all game. You know, a kicker, I never forget what it feels like to run on and just feel like this is the worst job. And then suddenly, luckily,
as a fan, I've seen, I'm like, that is the worst job.
One voice is saying, what are you doing? This is unbelievably intense. But through your discipline, we call it 10,000 hours, whatever you is, that more important voice supersedes that, and you just stay with what you know. But how did I get there was, it's on the cover, it's being cut, allowing myself to be rejected 11 times by 8 teams, and noticing an interesting thing. When I first was cut by the Jets and then by the Patriots about a month apart, both times I thought it was the end of the world. The end of my dream. And I think a lot of people are afraid to confront trying to make their dream happen, because what if it ends? Then they can't live in that semi-fantasy world, you know, that it's still possible. So you overcome that. And what I noticed was about 2 days afterwards, wait a minute, they don't know what's inside me. I don't even know what's inside me. The only way I'm going to find out, and the only way I can get used to that unique pressure, which is arguably the most intense single second pressure there is in sports, is by putting myself out there over and over. And then also enduring, I'm sure CJ can relate, when a coach or a general manager rejects you anyway, even though you clearly outkicked everybody, you clearly outperformed everybody, because that's just the way life is. There are unfair things that happen. So the book is definitely ostensibly about persistence, but by being persistent, we then learn these other lessons. One being creating your own office on the field. This is Office Hours. You have your office hours in the game where nobody's going to come in the integrity of that office I've created between the 8 yards from where the ball is snapped, caught back, and I have to kick it. And I only see the ball not spinning for 0.2 seconds. So I better be on. I have to realize that there will be a voice saying, you know, you could have made 200 in a row in practice it, and it won't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the intensity and the discipline of your mind is everything. So that then goes to, once you make it and you beat out the greatest kicker in the history of the game in Jan Stenerud, and your hero, and you try to sustain it, because so many people are one-hit wonders. I'm sure, CJ, I keep bringing you up, but you know, you've been around those guys that had one great year and then they didn't keep it going. And from there, finally, the third lesson, sustaining it, making it, sustaining it, and then what do you do with it? How empty is it? Mm-hmm. When you kick the game-winning field goal in the 1982 Pro Bowl with Steve Largent holding, Jack Lambert hugging me, almost crushing my ribs, 17 Hall of Famers, and then in the locker room, as the Hall of Famers left, as the cameras left, feeling this unbelievably deep, aching emptiness, because I couldn't share, didn't have anybody to share it with. And realizing that it's always going to be empty on the mountaintop, no matter what, if you don't intentionally include that in where you want to be when you're successful.
Nick, I want to talk to you about athlete to athlete. My question is, what kind of advice would you give that young kid out there, maybe even a kicker in college, maybe still in the pros? What kind of advice would you give him? You know, because your story, obviously you've been cut, but now you're one of the greatest kickers ever. And that's a big feat. That's not small. So what kind of advice would you give someone out there who's gotten cut, or maybe just looking to get into sports, or, you know, still trying to grind it out, trying to make a team, all that kind of stuff? What kind of advice would you give that young person?
Well, number one, we have a dysfunctional notion of pressure. And with pressure is the idea of what mistakes mean. So in the end, the best thing that ever happened to me was to get cut, to get rejected, and decide how important this was to me. Was I going to dig in and keep working to get better? So every single mistake is an opportunity to learn and to grow. That's the most important thing. If you stick with it long enough, first of all, because you committed yourself, if it's not for you and you're not going to be a kicker, isn't it great to know you gave it everything, so you won't live in regret like so many people do? The old couch potato watching Monday Night Football saying, I could have, but I had a bad coach or I had an injury. No, you know it wasn't right, so you can spend your focus on something you know is better.
Reminds me of what I tell my kids every day. Do your best, learn lessons, and have fun. Because if you do your best, learn lessons, and have fun, even if you're a below average college football player, I knew that's what I did in my college football career. Did my best, learn lessons, and have fun. And the lessons I learned, I have to tell you, are far more advantageous than anything I learned in graduate school, law school, business school, $1 million of personal development work. It's those lessons I learned sitting on the bench. And by the way, there's really little pressure when you're a second string defensive back.
You know, I will say also, be coachable, find a mentor. Like we've been talking about this all the time, is I had incredible blessings for mentors that kept me going. They kept saying something you've heard 100 times. You're not measured by how many times you fall down. It's how many times you get back up. And that was just a phrase Dick Johnson used for me, he called himself a clam digger from Maine. Didn't know anything about kicking, but he knew about what it would take for me mentally to be the best. And that really, I think that mental strength is what allowed me to be as good as I was.
That's what most people don't.
Well, when I was not an NFL Hall of Famer, when I was not an NBA player, when I was an underperforming Penn State Division I volleyball player, however, no, the question for you, Nick, what changed after 11 teams, right? 11 no's.
Yes.
Did you get better miraculously, or was it that the 12th team saw something in you that the other 11 that cut you didn't?
Well, there was some of that, but they also still saw something in me that was there that hadn't been there 2 years earlier. 2 years, it's one thing. We have all the self-help people that are very good, and they talk about 1 month of transformation. But the truth is, if you'll stick with it for 2 years, you can be unbelievably better. I'm sure, CJ, you've seen the players that, you know, really weren't that good coming out of college. They weren't ready for the prime time, but they put in the work, and there are not too many exceptions that way, but they stayed with it, and suddenly they're at a whole new level. So to me, I think change is so intense. Those 10,000 hours, it's integrated into you so deeply. You don't even know quite, but you know you're more confident and you know you're ready. So I'm going against my hero, Jan Stenerud, but I knew, here's the phrase, I'd paid my dues. I didn't feel guilty that I was going to take his job. It was my time. And what happened is, Jan and I joke about it now. He just did a wonderful piece when I was roasted on Sunday in Kansas City with Christian Okoye. But back then, he didn't like me. Of course he didn't. He thought I was going to finish his career in Kansas City. Took a year for him to kind of rededicate himself and look deeper and how much harder he could train, and had six of the best seasons of his life with Green Bay and Minnesota, cementing his place as the first kicker in the Hall of Fame. And I was ready. I was not ready before. And I could tell for a full half year, year, that second year trying to make it, that I was just better than everybody. I was at a different place. But then it has to be, the second part of the answer is, Marv Levy was the first significant special teams coach who had the guts, frankly, to cut the single remaining member of the stars of that Super Bowl team. And that took guts as well. So thank you again, Marv. I love you. 100 years old. I love you, buddy.
So it's skill. It is skill. It's determination. It's dedication. It's timing. And then it's also the coach, the environment in which you were. Because, David, as you say, you're an underperforming Division I. Same thing here. I wanted it. I worked hard, but I wasn't 6'10" with a 42-inch vertical jump. So I could never be that good. But if someone saw something, if I did work harder, if I did not quit and I was persistent, perhaps I could have.
Well, you sure couldn't control being, you know, 6'10" if you're only 6'2".
Yes.
But you could control all those other things.
Yes.
And whatever primes you to be the best basketball player you can be is definitely going to be a habit that can help you in being the best at something else.
So, Nick, you know, 11 teams. I talk a lot about resiliency. I have a podcast, The Resiliency Project, where we examine what does it take to get back up. So, and I understand you have an app coming out now as well that to help people kind of talk through that. So talk to me about resiliency and then how the app is launching and how that can help people get back up.
Thank you. A couple of days from now, May is National Mental Health Month. We have an epidemic of people who are addicted to the phone, who have not developed deeper management skills of their thought process, what they focus on, and how they overcome adversity. Because if their model is somehow life's going to be great and I'm going to be just like those people on Facebook and Instagram and I'm going to look good and be happy all the time, they're in for a treat and it's not a good one. So the mental health app is by a company called Blue Cloud. It's called Mind Me. And if you Google, everybody, Nick Lowry companion app, we're going to have influencers. Hopefully we'll get CJ on there and people like David Meltzer and Bart and Nick as well. Because in the end, 75% of the population do not want to talk about their issues. So we have a tripling of suicide for freshmen coming into college because suddenly they've got to be on their own. They got to solve their own issues. And that's a tragedy because they didn't think life was going to be that hard. And so by having a person, a companion like me, asking these five questions developed by Dr. Peter V. Meyer at the University of Heidelberg, thousands and thousands of tests that prove that those five questions are just as good as 10 visits to the psychologist.
Wow.
And a lot less expensive because the app is free, everybody.
That's phenomenal.
You at least have one mentor who's asking those questions and then gives you a little suggestion based on your answers in less than 5 minutes, what to focus on, what to think about, what to work on, because you seem to maybe have trouble making decisions, or maybe you have trouble maintaining relationships.
Or maybe you have trouble getting back up after failure.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's so profound. And we're going to be doing this. We're working with the Department of Defense so we can finally have, with the huge, just unacceptable suicide rate, something to provide a baseline for veterans so that, you know, we're showing some love to them, not just when they do something for us and possibly sacrifice a limb or their life, but also something for them because they deserve it and we need to support them.
Now you can see why Nick Lowry was the man of the year for the Chiefs and the Jets. And he also, by the way, is the man of the year for Office Hours. Thank you, Nick Lowry, for joining us.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
An amazing day here on Office Hours.